From the Marquee Media Studio inside Mark Tank, it's the Mark Haney Show.
Yes, this is the Mark Haney Show, and we're on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in the hometown we love. And today, we're going to be doing a little bit different kind of show. I actually have six guests on the show. It's a small group that I call Hanging with Haney, and we decided to record Hanging with Haney because it's very interactive. And because we recorded it, we felt that it made its way into consideration to be actually a podcast. And so my buddy Scott over here has put it together, the compilation of this week's Hanging with Haney, and turned it into a podcast. I think you're going to enjoy it because it really is kind of about real world entrepreneurs and building your tribe. And I share with these entrepreneurs my perspective, but I get some of their perspective as well. So I hope you like it. And if you do, maybe you want to come to a Hanging with Haney. Who knows? These are these small group opportunities where you many times, as building an entrepreneurial business, you can feel alone. So this is an opportunity where you don't feel so alone. Thanks. Stick around.
Entrepreneurs are the heroes of the American economy. They take the risks, create the opportunities, and move the molecules. Now, back to the Marquee Media Studio, it's the Mark Haney Show.
Okay, today we are going to be doing something a little bit different on the Mark Haney Show. We have six guests and maybe a seventh coming, and this is going to be a show where we talk about what entrepreneurship is like in a small group. We call it Hanging with Haney. And it's a chance for me to share a little bit about what I'm doing with you and the rest of our audience out there in our podcast and radio. But it's also a chance to get some real world dialogue going with me, with entrepreneurs. And I think that that will be helpful for our studio audience, and I think it'll be helpful for one another as well. We can probably help each other a little bit. We're all trying to build something. Maybe we start by going around and doing intros from each of you, and then I'll share with what I'm doing. And part of it might feel like a monologue, but then I'll be asking you questions, and at the end we'll do Q&A a little bit. Anthony over here is laughing at me about the monologue thing. He's the guy that surprised we were recording, and here we are. I appreciate you being here, and maybe we could just go ahead and start with you.
Okay. My name is Bria Loren. I have been in the real estate business for almost 10 years, and I guess the reason why I'm here is because I want to open up a different business, and I need guidance.
Oh, so I love it. I look forward to hearing about it.
Oh, nice. My name is Sunny Singh. I don't even know who Mark Haney is, but I got a chance to.
He stumbled. He's walking down Granite Drive. He's like, oh, they have cold beer and water here.
They do. No, I cold called Mark's office, and for two neighbors and two business professionals came to a party of mine, and everyone said, oh, get to know Mark Haney. And so the 5 minutes I've been here, Tammy, who's been with you like 23 years, is like, oh yeah, he sold a video store. He could have retired. He didn't retire. He's doing Haneyville. He's got a radio show. He's got all these adventures. So I'm like, oh, I'm excited to be here.
Okay.
And I want to learn, a little bit more about your mindset and things like that.
Oh, I love it. Thank you.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me. My name is Nick Milan. I'm an auto detailer. I have an auto detailing establishment. I've been in business for about 9 years in Sacramento, but I've been detailing for about 15 years. Going on 16 years of marriage this May.
Congrats.
Two teenage kids. Yeah. And I've been in Sac since 2014, graduated Sac State, and looking for some expansion, some guidance, and all of the above. So pretty excited. Had a podcast myself, and it's a lot of work, but it's exciting and very fruitful. So looking forward to it.
All right. Thanks. Welcome.
My name is Michael Pearson. I really enjoy the whole networking aspect of it. And so I know Sunny, and I'd love to know more familiar faces. To keep this short and sweet, I got a monologue, but not on Mark Haney's level. I started an airsoft business. I sold that. Express Tax Lane, my uncle, we sold that. It got acquired. And then I went into the franchise brokering world. I sold that to Entrepreneur Magazine. Then I did Legal Shield for a while, worked at H&R Block, worked at Moss Adams as a tax accountant, founded a white labeling company called Marketing Products International, learned about drop shipping, white labeling, like manufacturing. Then that went into a hot sauce company where I learned manufacturing of the goods and like BPA compliance and all that sort of stuff. Was a store operator on eBay. I'm sorry about this if this is really long, but I just figured I'd give you the whole background if I had an opportunity. store manager on eBay, ended up selling those to private operators. I'm in the military. I'm still in the military, and that was a long journey, so that helped catch me on all these rides that I'm making sound good but were sometimes horrible, but I got out of it because of the military, and I love the military. BNI, I'm part of BNI, which is similar to TIP, as you explained when I first met you. And then I started Battle Rattle. It's a veteran-owned clothing company, still going and operating, 7 years strong. Veteran-owned and operated gear and apparel. A tax company with a partner called Simbi Advisors. I do mortgages and have a mortgage partner, but I don't own that company, so we do that. Got into commercial real estate recently, and then my dream is to be like Mark Haney and own Vet Adventures, Vet Adventures X. And I want to talk to you about that, about some of the ideas that I have to bring entrepreneurs together.
Oh, love it. All right. Thank you. Welcome.
All right. My resume is not quite as impressive.
Mine either.
My name is Anthony Wilkins, and I have a junk hauling company. So we haul junk, clear out estates, also do tractor business, and found out about you. Marcus, your son, and Ashley were one of my kind of first clients.
They got a bunch of junk and got rid of it.
So, and Ashley was a great person to meet, and she's still refers me to this day about 7 years later. And I actually started on Oak Tree Lane. I believe you know where that is.
I do know where Oak Tree Lane is.
So yeah, started there with Charlie, the character that was there before.
Oh my gosh.
And parked my trailer there, and now I have my own shop in Loomis. So, and kind of branching out to some other stuff, self-storage development, and some other businesses that I'm trying to get launched.
So. Wow. Okay, so this is why we started the show. I think back to when I sold my companies. I was in the security business, sold my companies, and what am I going to do with my life? And I knew it was around creating opportunity. I got one of those big dry erase boards and wrote down what I was good at, what I loved, what I thought I was good at, what I might be able to get paid for, and maybe what the world needs. And it was really turned into a mission statement. And that led me to here. And what I found by writing that mission statement was that I was going to spend a lot of time around entrepreneurs, joined the Entrepreneurs Organization, and then started the show. And then that's when I immersed myself in hanging out with entrepreneurs. So this is what I love to do. We haven't done this as much because of COVID lately, but we are re-emerging. So my hope today is to, some of you know a little bit about me, but maybe give a little bit more about just of my brief background and what I'm working on today. And then see how that might apply to you. See how my thought process might align or not align with what you're thinking. So let me just start by saying that nobody builds a truly great company alone. And I think you know that. You've built companies and sold them. It's not easy to do. And that's what I saw as the big opportunity for me, having built some companies with hundreds of employees, hundreds of millions in revenue. Enough experience that I knew nobody builds a truly great company alone. But what am I going to do with this information? So that's when I started thinking about the show, and that sharing stories of entrepreneurship, real world entrepreneurs like yourselves, we could make entrepreneurs of Sacramento not feel quite so alone. And so it's led to this. Along the way, we made a few other discoveries, and I'll talk about that. But nobody builds a truly great company alone. And I think there's a lot of people out there that haven't quite defined what truly great means to them yet. Truly great. Any thoughts on what's a truly great company look like to you?
Yeah, pick up the mic.
Yeah, pick up the mic.
Well, I think you know, there's a lot of words that get tossed around, like
best and great, and you know, that's all a matter of perspective, right? And so in my opinion, it's really happiness, right? I mean, I think that just circumferences everything in general. But you know, employees are happy, bosses are happy, management is happy, you know, the client is happy, customers are happy. And as long as everybody's kind of getting a fair shake of that happiness, that's great, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I think that's a great way to put it. Does anybody else have thoughts on that?
I think you're in the black, so I'll do the opposite.
Okay.
Right? You're in the black.
You're making money.
You're making money. You have a positive culture that everybody is enthused to come into work about. You have a product or service that, you know, is shaking up the community and people are really, you know, desiring. And then lastly, you're managing to your core values and your mission statement is resoundful. Like people just, they tie it, Nike, just do it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yes. I love it. Ray, any thoughts?
Are we going more?
Yeah, okay. Sure. Everybody gets a turn.
To me, a great company is a company that's buildable, something that can expand, profitable, and I guess desirability. Yeah. Those are like my main things that I would probably say because it has to be able to grow.
Yeah. Be scalable to be truly great. You guys have thoughts? Different thoughts? Similar?
So I've had the opportunity to have some employees and different cultures and things like that. But I would say like the owners of a company, when they meet somebody new and that person kind of fits real well and they gel real well, to do all those things that Sonny was saying, to be in the black, have the great culture. But like when you're around somebody and you know that it's a good mold, like everything you talk about is good and you're connecting on that level, that employee or whoever, that partner that comes into that has so much more appreciation and gratitude and value that they're just willing to like, it doesn't even matter if you go red because they just love what they do. Like that's so special. Like that's what, in my experience, that's all I got.
Anything? Yeah, you guys don't have to talk. As I mentioned earlier, I can do a monologue, but I'm hoping that a little people are going to relate to what you guys have to say a little bit because they've heard me. They may want some of my I guess experience because I'm a lot older than you guys, but I think you all represent the entrepreneur on the street, and they look and work on all different things. But what you guys shared about your team, each of you, when you described what truly great meant to you, there was part of it that was around team and culture and scalability. And what I didn't hear, but I think is possibly important for some of us, is making an impact. And I think maybe that that comes with a certain age, but for me, I've always enjoyed helping create opportunity as the impact, opportunity for my teammates and opportunity for my business partners, and really taking the opportunity to work on things that we might not normally get a chance to work on. So if we're building a product that truly changes the world, you know, that's a really great feeling that you can't get by just getting an 8-to-5 job, right? Typically. So that's something that is really important to me. So the other thing that I realized is because nobody builds a truly great company alone, that a lot of people don't build truly great companies, right? So 9 out of 10, something like that, startups fail in their first 5 years. So many others, they end up fizzling out and really not living up to their full potential. They don't end up being truly great. And there's a lot of reasons why, but I would submit to you that the main reason why people don't build truly great companies is they don't put the right people in their lives in order to help them, because nobody's going to do it alone. And there's 3 questions that we've got to get right if we're going to build a truly great company. 3 questions that we might not get right at the beginning, but we need to figure out along the way. And so I'm building something called the Backyard Advantage, right? It's the Growth Factory, which is a startup accelerator with an accompanying venture fund, and the Backyard Advantage. And the Backyard Advantage is really our biggest differentiator. It's this community. It's the most connected community in the world for local entrepreneurs. We are building that in Sacramento. It's a tribe of savages that get it, right? They understand the power of entrepreneurship. They understand that entrepreneurs are the heroes of the American economy. They understand that you guys are the ones that take risk, make sacrifices. You're working to build truly great companies that actually do change the world, and that we need to not only celebrate you, we need to back you, right? We need to have your back. So I imagine a city where every entrepreneur in town has each other's back. And as the investor community rallies around the most promising startups, as we get the civic leaders to rally around the most promising, as we take into consideration that every entrepreneur matters, together, we ignite an entrepreneurial revolution. That's what I'm working on. So it starts with getting three questions right. And the first question is, how compelling is your vision? Is that vision compelling? And what I mean by that is, do other people get excited about being a part of it? Can you get one person, one savage, excited about helping you? It's probably going to take more than just you two. It might take three, four, five, and ultimately, the Backyard Advantage, we're assembling hundreds of them. But at the core, there's a small group of us that really have said, we are doing this. We're not doing it simply for the money. We're doing it because it matters, and we want to do something important. And we do believe it's scalable, and we do believe that we can be in the black. But we also understand that we're trying to do something really, really different. This, what we're doing, has never been done before, rallying these leaders. So that's one of the things that inspires me, is doing things that most people would be like saying to themselves, you're doing what, Haney? What is this, right? So that's what inspires me, you know, having built a few companies, having had a little bit of success. Well, let me do something that, you know, can be number one in a market, that can be totally differentiated. My past companies, always number one in the market. Well, not always, became number one in the market. In video stores, in security around the country. And now I think we're at the beginning stages of building something super unique for small town America. Happens to be getting started here in Sacramento. So with that said, Who has a compelling vision that would get the rest of us to want to jump in and help you? Anybody have something?
You know what, Mark? It's funny that you're talking about this, because I feel the same way, you know. And I was talking to these guys and gals in the lobby about LATIP. LATIP is a business networking group. Surely you've heard of it. Our particular group has 40 members, and we meet every Tuesday morning for breakfast. And we basically work as each other's sales team, right? We're out there selling for each other. We're obligated to use each other's business. And if you don't, you get dinged for it. You have to pay a small fine. Which I love, right? Some people get turned off by that, but you have to have skin in the game in these circumstances. But what I'm working on, I'm an auto detailer. But so what I'm building right now, my expansion, is getting all automotive entrepreneurs together to build a networking group around the automotive industry. Because, you know, in the detailing realm, you know, we talk about competition all the time, but, you know, in Sacramento alone, there's, you know, 500,000 people. Most people have two cars. That's a million cars. There's enough cars to go around for all detailers to get some business. So instead of competing, we should be helping each other get jobs, right? I specialize in paint reconditioning, ceramic coating, that type of thing. I hate doing interior work. So what I do, I go find an interior specialist, and I send him all the interior work. Then I find a motorcycle specialist and a boat specialist and, you know, a specialist here and there and there. And eventually I found I just got to build a group of all these automotive entrepreneurs that we can meet together once a month and talk about entrepreneurship and how to grow and what product you're using. And hey, I'm detailing this big RV next week. I need some help, you know, and just build that community of automotive entrepreneurs, not only to grow as business owners, but just hang, you know, barbecue, yeah, drink a brew, you know, and build relationships with these folks.
I love that. It really inspires me, the collaborative over competitive mindset. It's much more scalable. And I feel like that's what we're working on with the Growth Factory as well, because I think we have hundreds of investors. We have multiple venture capital firms associated with us, different cities, City of Rockland, City of Roseville, El Dorado County. In their own realm, they may be feeling like they're competitors, but we all have something in common, right? And that's the same with you. And I think there's a lot of crossover idea generation between you and I on that. So that's really cool. Anybody else have a compelling vision?
Go first. Go
ahead. All right. So if this is a pitch and I got to get you, the savage, to be interested in what I'm selling, here's what I got. So when you're going to school, right, you have book club, you got chess club, you got sports, right? When you go to college, sororities, fraternities, you have these groups that like create everlasting long, like for the rest of your life bonds. Then you get spit out and you're into the workforce. And if you really want to do good, if you want to be like the good Indian guy, for your Indian son, for your parents, you know, you're going to put your blinders on and you're going to go, you know what? Race to 100,000, race to 500,000, race to 1 million, race to 3 million. And you're going to do that. And the next thing you know, you're going to get tired out and you're going to take the horse blinders off and you're going to look to the left and right of you. And there's no friends. There's no family. Like you get burnout, right? You're a solo bolo. So now this pitch is going to go a little left. Do you remember Al Bundy?
Yes.
The No Ma'ams group. And I mean this in the most sexist way ever, but the No Ma'ams group, right? A bunch of his friends, they got together, they had the No Ma'am, you know, shirt, yes, in their right. garage.
It's been a while since I've seen that show.
They drank beers and they just decompressed and hung out. Well, I propose that I'm going to set up a group of people that are like, let's say I live in Loomis, so Loomis residents that are all like kind of feel the same way I do. They're in their 40s. They feel burnout. They looked around. There's like no one to hang out. I mean, you got dating sites for like, you know, people to date, but there's no like, let's be friends groups, mm-hmm. you know, like you could go do a meetup. But then you can go to a LATIP or a BNI, but it's like business networking. Right. There's really not a group that like I can find that's like, hey, here's a bunch of cigars. Here's some bourbon or some Coors Light. And hey, fireball shots in 20 minutes. And like, let's all hang out.
That's it. Okay. So that vision is inspiring to me. Okay. As the only thing is I might be too old for your group, but otherwise I'm inspired.
We do not discriminate sex, gender, you know, none of that.
Explain the bottle you brought.
I know. I bought the Vouv. This is the good stuff here, my friends. So you made a great first impression.
Awesome.
Okay, so mine's a lot
vision.
Different.
Sorry to interrupt you. Two inspiring visions. Now, no pressure.
I know. So I've been doing real estate for about 10 years, and I'm burnt out. I love real estate. I do really good in real estate. But what I've noticed in our area and our demographics in our area, we don't really have a very good, convenient, healthy food store. I got this idea back in 2017, whenever I was on my way from Tahoe and I wanted to stop and get a salad. And I was looking for a drive-through salad place, somewhere I can go quick, hop right back on the freeway and get it done fast. And I looked on Google. I found one in Arizona. That's literally just a drive-through salad spot. You think kiosk style. So no overhead, like inside. People can't come inside and order a salad. It's just strictly drive-through. And since 2017, this company has opened over 100 stores. None in California. So I want to open my own in California.
Well, that's exciting. Now, would you open it under their franchise?
They're not a franchise.
Okay.
So I will be making my own. And that's why I'm here, because it's very All expensive.
Right. Yes. Okay. I love
and
it.
And I need direction.
Okay. Well, this is, yeah, that's so, okay. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody else want to go?
Well, I guess off of that idea, I've had a similar idea, except for breakfast. There's no place really that you can go and get like a scramble. So I've always said, oh, you know, there's no place that you can just go and get like a scramble or an omelet. Well, just based off the salad idea here. So
yeah,
it's pretty much the same thing, but I was like,
but is that your
breakfast.
Vision? I mean, do you just dream about that, or is that something that,
that
is
was just a comment
a
off
compelling
that, but,
vision?
But
okay.
It is a vision. And then, yeah. So sometimes I do have these visions and ideas, and but it's hard to implement and execute them. So I'm trying to figure out, you know, get some guidance on where I can go with some ideas, and try to figure out, you know, just people that I can talk to that know and have done some things that can help
Yeah. I can share with you with some experience, you know, built a few companies. I'll try to stay more current with the Growth Factory because it's something I'm working on right now. As I mentioned, we created the Startup Accelerator and with the accompanying venture fund and the Backyard Advantage. And it was an interesting question because you're starting from scratch right in the middle of COVID. You can't even do events, right? It's like, oh, wow, we started this right in the middle of COVID. Our events had gotten shut off. These type of events had gotten shut off. And everybody's wearing a mask. Half the people, maybe 80% of the people are paranoid. How am I going to do this? What am I going to do? And what we did is I had the vision. I've been talking about this concept for the last 7 or 8 years on my podcast. But one of you guys mentioned the term skin in the game. And that's when everything changed. When we figured out a way to get other people to throw in and have skin in the game, no, it was no longer simply the Mark Haney show or Mark Haney making his investments. It became a group of investors making investments together. We pooled our money, and to give us a better chance at succeeding, we started this accelerator to help the founders go through and get trained. It was like a boot camp for founders. And then what helps them, I would say at least as much, if not much more, is the Backyard Advantage, which is the most successful people in Sacramento opening up doors for our portfolio companies. Our portfolio companies, if we invest into a company, we've got 100 investors, we've got 100 mentors, we've got cities and municipalities and, you know, like SMUD and hospitals. They're opening up doors for customers and other investors and so on. And those door openings, they're invaluable. I mean, we're here today kind of networking a little bit. What if you could meet anybody in Sacramento that you wanted to meet, right? Oh, okay. How would that change your life? How would that eliminate some of the friction of getting from point A to point B to meet the right people that can help you get what you want? And we did this by breaking the rules completely, but we created small group events. We're like, okay, I think it's time to go back to small group events. So we would get into groups slightly bigger than this, and I shared the vision. Here's what we're doing. This is good for Sacramento. This is good for entrepreneurship. You all believe in entrepreneurship. Many of you have been on my show. And what if we all work together? We could change the world, beginning with Sacramento. And it stuck. And here we are. That was 15 months ago. And it was mainly because of the compelling vision and the way that we shared it that related to each and every one of them individually. And so I think for us, that was highly effective. And I don't know how that might apply for what you're working on too.
You know, the Carlson Center is working on some stuff. I mean, they just sprouted out of nowhere and they're really dominating the market in terms of helping entrepreneurship. I was on a demo the other day with Cameron Law and they were talking about the Entrepreneurship Hub. And it's basically a one-stop shop. And, you know, someone like me, again, I coach volleyball. I've been coaching for a long time. I have two teenage kids, very active in their education and their, you know, after, you know, getting them ready for college and things like that. Plus, I run a business and, you know, marriage and all that stuff. So when I look at, you know, venture capitalists and looking at for angel investors and looking at buildings that I can get into, you know, there's a lot of hats that you have to wear that takes a lot of time to get, you know, all that in order. And then things shift. So then you got to go back and reorder. But the Entrepreneurship Hub, they have it all on one platform. I mean, you can find an investor, you can find, you know, a partner, you can find a coach, you can find this all on one platform. It makes it so simple. It's amazing. I love it. And I think you're right. This is the place to do it, man. I mean, we just got voted best place to live, right?
That's right.
That's where it starts.
Well, the Carlson Center, I got to make sure that I amplify what you say a little bit. Dale Carlson has been on my show a few times, as has Cameron Law. I'm on the advisory board for the Carlson Center. The first phone call, I have an internal team, Rick and Monique. They helped me co-found the Growth Factory. And the first phone call that we made was to Dale Carlson. So I pick up the phone. I remember I'm looking over there because I remember where I was standing when I called him. I'm like, okay, I wonder what Dale would think about this idea. And he says, I'm in. He's now on our advisory board for our group. He's actually on our board. So anyway, he's the right person. Because I think a level, and what I would say about that is savages, right? You think back, Dale Carlson is, you may not know him, but he built the Sleep Train and sold it to Mattress Firm. It was an employee-owned company. So his employees owned 20, 30% of the company. So when he ended up selling the company, they got a big payday. He shared the wealth. And many entrepreneurs have sprung out of that. He's donated millions and millions of dollars to Sac State for the Carlson Center. He's an investor into to our group as well. And he's just a tremendous person, but those are the kind of people you want to start with because, oh, if Dale's in, okay, that's interesting. Then the next phone call is to my buddy Lokesh, who owns Moneta Ventures, right? A venture capital firm. He's like, I'm in, right? And so we started picking and choosing. And at the beginning, like, let's make the right calls and meetings first. And then the next thing you know, you get there. But starting with the right ones and the compelling vision, I think, is huge. The second question that we've got to get right that most of us struggle with, including me, is what are you going to do with what you got? What are you going to do with what you got? And that's really a question we ask ourselves every day. You get home from, you know, working all day or whatever, and, you know, what are we going to have for dinner? Open the fridge, look in the pantry. What are we going to do with what we got? Let's do a scramble tonight, right? That's like, it goes that way, right? And that's a question, that's life. What are you going to do with what you got? And the most successful people in life do pretty well at answering that question. And the answer to that changes every day, right? Because what you got today is different than what you had yesterday or last year or in the middle of COVID. You know, okay, you got your strengths, your weaknesses, opportunities, threats. You know, you got your balance sheet, you got all your debt, you got your experience, your life's experience, you've got your reputation, you've got stuff. And if you really sit back from this and think about, what am I good at? What do I love? What can I get paid for? And what does the world need? It'll get you pointed in the right direction. And if you narrow that down, but for whatever reason, a lot of people have trouble getting that. They catch themselves. Okay, how many times have you heard somebody complaining about the government's doing this or the media that we've, or the 49ers, well, the 49ers coach is doing good right now. The coach is doing this wrong, right? We sit back and we play armchair. We whine about things. We complain. We focus on things that have nothing to do with our vision. It's why we can't. Whining wastes time. And we've got to think about what are we going to do with what we've got. We're going to have to take action. It's really about the actions that we take that are going to affect our outcome. And we might get those wrong at the beginning, and then we get them a little bit right, a little bit wrong, and you navigate and you adjust. But if you don't have the vision, you don't even know where you're going, it's a little bit difficult to make those decisions. Anybody, what are you, like, I'm wondering with you, I've heard from you guys, like, I'm doing this and that and the other thing and all that. I didn't hear that from you, but it makes me think about focus. How many of you guys are working on more than, you know, understand family and business, but then I heard networking group, but that ties to your business. Anybody feel like they're working on stuff that doesn't tie to their vision very much?
You know, I hate to keep hogging the mic. I'm sorry, guys. but you know, I with my kids, I had a podcast with a buddy of mine that split up. So I still had all the equipment. I spent thousands of dollars on it. So I was like, I'm not going to let that go to waste. But I always felt I had a radio show when I was at Sac State, and I brought my kids on the radio show. It was called Real Talk Radio, and we just talk about just any and everything, homelessness, deforestation, things like that. And I brought my kids and I told them to bring a friend each. So we had four kids in the studio and I just let them have the mic and they just started talking. And we don't give kids enough credit for what they know. They are smart little creatures, man. And, you know, as parents, we just think, oh, you know, we kind of shield them from things, but they know about the stuff, but they're not going to talk to us because we're their parents. So I started a podcast and it was called These Kids in Sacktown. And so what I would do is I would mix it in with trick shots because trick shots with kids is pretty cool. And I do archery and we'd go out to the archery range and shoot bows at balloons and stuff like that. But then after the trick shots, I'd sit them down in a setting like this, put some lights up, put a couple mics up and just let them go at it in a conversation. And these conversations just went all kinds of different ways. And you know, it's pretty cool, you know, what goes on in a kid's mind. We don't even think about it, but you know, that definitely helped me, you know, get out of the realm of business and kind of explore other avenues for sure.
Well, our children are our future. How many of you have children? Everybody, three. Okay, most of you have kids, and I have my Ronald Reagan mantra over there that I love. All great change in America begins at the dinner table, and I think the conversations that we have with our children, you had on your podcast, that's our future. That's what we've become up to this point, and that's where we're going to be, you know, with my grandkids and great grandkids. So. I love that. Another inspiring thing. And somebody might say, well, why are you doing that? And is it really tied to your vision? And I could see how that really helps shape your family and create an opportunity for them to develop, which is obviously a very important part of your life. But a lot of us, we get caught up in, you know, watching TV and working on all these things, which is, I'm not saying we don't need our downtime, but we get caught up doing things that don't tie as well to what we're trying to achieve. And I feel like if we're going to build something truly great, we've got to end up getting those questions right. We need our downtime for recharging, but we need as much, we need to find a way to be at our very best more often. And I think if you don't create some downtime for yourself, you probably won't be at your very best. So, but that's inspiring. But the other thing that I see with entrepreneurs and myself is we're working on things that are about 10 and 20 and 30 years from now when the house is on fire. So we, you know, I'm invested in, before the Growth Factory, I'd invested in like 50 companies, right? And so I've spent a lot of time with my own companies, you know, seeing their work. I've been the president of the Entrepreneurs Organization for the last few years. I've had a show, I've been around thousands of entrepreneurs. And so often they forget to focus on what's important now. Okay, what's important today? And so they let the day slip by without enough action on what's important now. So getting those questions right is super important. That's one of the things that we do. That's one of the things we're working on with the Growth Factory is, you know, we're a startup too. So we're trying to think about what's important now in order to build this backyard advantage and help our portfolio, knowing that we have to invest into another 70 companies in the next 3 years. We're going to invest into 100 over this 4-year period. And so how do you balance that? And getting that right is critical. And the third question that I feel like is very critical to get right, and we'll open it up for questions or more discussion, is what's your commitment level? What's your commitment level? It's, you know, in your heart what your commitment level is, but if you're going to attract a tribe of savages, right? Nobody builds a truly great company alone. You got this compelling vision. You got the talking part done, Haney. Okay. And this is some of the internal questions, what are you going to do with what you got? Okay. Making those right. But what's your commitment level? How committed am I? How much do I want this? And am I demonstrating that to others so that they feel like they want to throw some skin in the game too, right? Haney's got some skin in the game. He's committed, right? He's spending time on this. He's committed. Dale Carlson, he could be doing other things. He's committed. If we don't have skin in the game, if we don't show commitment, if it's not demonstrated, we will never attract that tribe. We will never attract the people that it's going to take to back us, to really get behind us, to help propel us to do something truly great. Behind you is this thing that says, yes, if. There's a lot of people that are no because people, right? I don't think you can do it because, right? I'm more of like the yes if guy. Yeah, I think it's possible if you put the right people in your life and overcome enough of the right obstacles, anything is possible. Yes, if, but we, for whatever reason, and I think it's predominantly fear, we don't go out and get Dale Carlson on our team. The badass, who would be the number one draft pick for entrepreneurship in Sacramento? Dale Carlson. It's scary to go ask Dale Carlson to have a cup of coffee with you to think about that. And it might not be Dale Carlson for you guys. It might be somebody else in automotive. But there is the right group of people that have the same values as what you have, who could get excited about this, who would be willing to throw in with you if you wanted a partner. And I think if you're going to do something truly great, whether you have equity partners, you need teammates in order to help you really achieve something super special. And I think what you're working on is extremely special. So as I think about you, it sounds like you're a little bit bifurcated on what you're committed to. You're kind of tired of real estate, but you're still doing it. But yeah, have you, what does it take for the commitment level to go, okay, this is what I'm doing? Or maybe you're there now.
I'm there now.
Okay.
I mean, I'm self-employed. I do real estate. So I've always had to be committed.
Yeah.
So, you know, I run a team. I have a couple girls on my team. So I think, you know, definitely leadership is important as well to be able to grow a successful company. And since I am self-employed, it's that or die. So yeah. Well, it's just an like everyday
super mom
thing
too. How old are your kids?
My kids are 9 and 4.
Okay, 9 and 4-year-old super mom realtor with a team, and you're gonna start this new business. What's the emotion? What's the feeling?
I'm very excited.
Oh, that's awesome. Now I'm excited.
I'm very excited just because I see the growth and I see the potential, and I obviously know it works in just California and Sacramento in general. We need it.
We do.
We're too busy. We have very busy lifestyles around here. And even me as a mom, I don't know what I'm cooking for dinner tonight.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just convenience. And I think that our society strives off of convenience. And so if I can build a business that is convenient for people, it will succeed.
Yeah. I love that you're in love with the problem. Right.
Totally.
It matters to you. You're solving something. You're not saying I can make a ton of money doing this necessarily. Hopefully that all happens. But you're saying, look, we need a healthy lifestyle and it needs to be convenient. And we need to do that probably for people a lot like you, the working mom or the working parents that they don't have time.
The business executives. I mean, it all everybody, really.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that you each are able to. One of the things that I get out of this is I get new ideas from people, and I hope that you've got some of that out of this group and continue to get some of that out of this group. The other thing that I think I get out of being around the most ambitious people in the region, when you're around really ambitious people, it makes me think bigger, right? It makes me think a little bit bigger. Oh, you guys are thinking big. That's interesting. Now I'm inspired to, if he can do that, well, maybe I can do it too. And so that's one of the things I really appreciate about being around entrepreneurs. You're the most driven people in our community. You're not necessarily working for the weekend, playing for the paycheck. You are working on changing the world. So super inspiring. Why don't I stop there? And I'll open it up for questions of me, and maybe I'll turn around boomerang it back to somebody else here to help answer. But maybe, I don't know if you guys came in with any thoughts about what you might want to get from me.
I do. So we're going to launch that No Mams. No, just kidding.
No Mams, baby. No Mams, but with Mams. Hey, girls can come.
Yeah, yeah. I have a question for you. If you're... Like, you're clearly loaded. You're clearly successful. You know, the video store, per Tammy's story to me, was like all you needed. But if you were to start tomorrow, let's say something happened, you got wiped out and you had to start over tomorrow, right? And this isn't really a mindset question. It'd be kind of half mindset, half strategy. Where would you start? Where would you start? And the reason I'm asking, just to add some color to it, is, you know, I gave you guys my story, 14 years, just blinders on, and you wake up, you're in your 40s and you really don't know anybody. And you literally come from a town where your high school teacher became the mayor. Like, you know, everybody, your cousin owns the bar, Livermore, California. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Everybody knows you, you know, everybody, you come here, you don't, you're low man on the totem pole. You don't know anybody. So a part of me wants to like, a part of me is going back to what you described, which is I'm getting derailed from my compelling vision. Mm-hmm. And I'm not working towards the bigger goal, the big why. I'm like getting derailed because I'm like, should I spend time like getting acquainted or like cold calling or meeting somebody or, you know, hiring the magazine guy to be the new family in Loomis to spread that, you know, like, do I do that? Or do I join these groups like LaTep or this and that? And then, you know, I kind of get lost. I mean, you could see me in it now. I'm lost in it just as I'm asking this question. So what would you do? What are the action steps you would do if you'd start over?
Well, it's interesting because you didn't indicate that you were at zero. So I don't think you prefaced the question with, if you lost everything, where would you start? Doesn't sound like that's quite where you're at. So let me, you want me to play from the I've lost everything and I've got to eat? Or are you saying start from where you're at?
Okay. Fair question. God plucks, someone plucks you and puts you into Budapest, Hungary.
Okay.
You don't know anybody. You don't know Carlson. Mm-hmm. You can't make phone calls. What does Mark do?
That's a good question. I have made a living out of parlaying my relationships, which is, I think this is a challenging question because this is, I'm going to give you my journey. And then as I say it, I'll hopefully arrive at something that I might do because it's an interesting question. I've never had that question. So I was the guy in high school that threw the great parties, right? I played football, quarterback of the team, threw great parties, C student, you know, get into the video store business, hire my high school buddies in the surrounding high schools, people that came to my party. We built up some video stores. Okay, so that's how I started. We pivoted to security. I took my best video store people and we got into security. We built a pretty significant security company, but it was all around parlaying. I grew up like 5 minutes from here. Okay, so it's an interesting thing. And so here's where I was though, and this is where I think maybe you are. I was lost for a moment after selling my companies. So I sold my companies. We actually we were a couple hundred million. We merged with another company that was a couple hundred million in sales, built a 400 million plus company, started acquiring other companies, and we got bought by private equity. And ultimately that company went public, but I was no longer part of the growth strategy. I was the number 2-3 dude at one point when I thought I was gonna be number one. And it took something away from me and I didn't wanna be in that, you know, I didn't wanna stay with that company. So then I left and I had always envisioned staying with that company, right? I'm an entrepreneur, this is my family. We built this company. So I left and I didn't know what I was going to do. And that's when I got that dry erase board and I just started writing stuff down. And I think that helped me a lot because that turned into a mission statement. And so then I partnered with my daughter in a real estate company. And I partnered with my brother-in-law in another security company. And now we own the largest security company in gaming, right? in casinos, for surveillance cameras, right? You name a casino, we are there with the cameras. We got a really significant business that he runs that I backed at the beginning. And I did that with a concrete company and I've done that. So I started off there and then I started the podcast. And the podcast is a great way to meet people. It's an interesting, and you know this, it's a really interesting door opener for somebody that's, I'm more on the introverted side. I was good at throwing parties, but I wasn't the socialite going around, come to my party, come, you know, we had cheerleaders for that, right? So that's it. It's get a podcast, get people on my podcast and get to meet people. And those relationships developed. I ended up becoming friends with everybody who's been on my podcast. You guys don't know it yet, but we're going to become really good friends. Okay. So that's just how it's rolled over the last several years. And so if I was in a foreign country, I would start a podcast. That's why it took me a while to get to the answer.
You're clearly a people person.
That's what it is. I love people, but I'm a little bit less my natural tendency is not to be a socialite. My natural tendency is to have lifelong friends. I'm friends with the people I played Little League with that, you know, grew up 5 miles from here. This is my world. Even though my security companies were, our customers were all over the country, and our current company business, they're all over the country. So I had no friends here in Sacramento to speak of other than the UPS driver and the school teacher and, you know, people I grew up with and went to high school with. This entrepreneurial community that I'm now immersed in, I knew none of them. So in some ways I was at square one. And the entrepreneurs organization, I joined that organization. And then within a year I started the podcast, and that's been, I guess, a game changer. And really it tied so well to my mission that I just kept going. And, you know, what are you going to do with what you got? I made a lot of bad choices along the way and got here. And now I feel like I'm onto something, and it's taken 8 or 9 years. Invested into like 50 companies. Luckily, I was good at picking people. So we've got some good companies we invested into. But really turning it into a business that was sustainable for future wasn't until we launched the Growth Factory that really happened. Before that, it was just the Mark Haney Show making his investments. Now, this is a movement. This is a Sacramento movement that could be done in... We have other cities already saying they want us to come and help them do this in their town. Any town USA can rally a tribe together with a little bit of money, some entrepreneurs that get it. Let's work together. Let's help out a couple of entrepreneurs. Let's back them. What is it? We create jobs and change the world. So I really envisioned making this work in Sacramento and then taking it sort of, you know, into other geographic regions, because there's a lot of civic pride. So if I'm a new person, even in a foreign country, this could be done in any country in the world. The civic pride in some of these foreign countries is a lot stronger than what it is in Sacramento. I mean, we're a government cow town. Look at the way we rally around the Sacramento Kings, though, right? It's like Midwest town. We can rally around our sports team. We can rally around entrepreneurs. It's the same. It's very, very similar. We're the Backyard Advantage is the sixth man at Golden One, right? We're that loud noise that, you know, gets a little more adrenaline for the team when they're on the floor when we get behind them. So I think I would do that. I've never really thought about that before, because while everybody else thinks about leaving California, I am relentlessly local. I am so committed to my family, my friends, and my community. I mean, that's my mission statement. With future generations in mind, I will help create opportunity for my family, my friends, and my community. And as they succeed, I succeed. So we're building a family compound. And one of you guys mentioned this as you're coming up. It's that my 8 grandkids live out there. We're getting ready to move out there. And I'm focusing on my family first, my friends second, which are my business partners that I love. And third, this entire region, this community. And my son, he was shot in Afghanistan in the leg. That's why we're on Fox 40 today, is we've started this charitable organization to help veterans. About 8 or 9 years ago, and we're helping a lot of veterans. But I really feel like it's the patriotic thing to do is to build businesses that succeed. I think it's the right thing to do morally, to work on something that's truly great, to unleash your full potential. If you're not working on unleashing your full potential, is that right? I mean, my potential is around throwing parties, and that's what I'm doing, right? So it doesn't matter what you're good at, but tap into that. Tap into what you're good at. Tap into what you love. Tap into what the world needs, and hopefully you can find a way to get paid for it.
If I can, Mark, I wanted to piggyback on what he was saying, and also what you were talking about, and I promise I'm not plugging my networking group, so I won't even mention the name anymore. But, you know, I Tips. Mean, what it's LaTip. Yeah.
LaTip, sorry.
You know, when I joined this group, it's 2016. I was, you know, starting up this business. I was going to Sac State, really didn't want to work at McDonald's, but I had a detailing background. I needed a website, and I needed an insurance agent, and I needed a business attorney. And this group had all of them. And when I joined this group, you know, it's not only now producing 40% of my business revenue comes from this one particular group, which is pretty astonishing. But I'm rubbing shoulders with all these folks. You know, I mean, some of these attorneys are charging $300 an hour for an evaluation. I get to sit right next to them every Tuesday morning and just kind of ask them questions randomly. So, you know, it's networking and getting connected with all these different folks that can help you, you know, and also it's going to help you with your public speaking and your 30-second pitches and your things like that. You know, the salad thing, my wife would love that. I mean, absolutely love that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this
we're
is
customers the, already.
Hey, I'm in. Well, and you know, this is a farm to fork capital, right? I mean, you can probably go to West Sac to one of those, you know, local farms and probably find a plug over there for your, you know, your startup. And so networking for me has been it, you know, just getting together with other people that are going to ultimately help you. Now, obviously, you got to help them as well because it's got to kind of be that back and forth. But that's worked for me. And I know that can work for any. It sounds exactly what you're talking about, too, in terms of helping each other out. And also the second thing is time, right? Everything takes time. And I tell my kids all the time, find what you love to do and figure out how to make money doing it.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that's huge. I've heard it said that your network is your net worth. And when in my security businesses, we were number one in the country. We're the number one surveillance distributor in the country. And I had a network in security, right? And then when I left, I had nothing. And so the podcast was key, but this is for anybody listening out there too, is it can be a little scary to show up, right? Because you guys have shown up. So to me, you got it. First thing you got to do is show up. I mean, it might be a little bit uncomfortable to come to something like this or to go to a networking event your first time, but you got to show up. So maybe any advice out there that I would say to entrepreneurs or people that are at the beginning stages of having that dream begin to manifest, show up, and next thing you know, you're talking to the leader of Farm to Fork, the person putting on the bridge dinner, and they're excited about what you're doing, and they happen to be an investor into the Growth Factory, and they want to back you or whatever. I mean, my mind is circling on who could help you. When you brought up Farm to Fork, now all of a sudden I start thinking about all the people I know that are in your world. But you have to be able to, if you don't have a way to be compelling with your vision, it doesn't make anybody want to open up a door for you. So I think knowing that what your vision is and maybe having some idea of the type of person that you would want to know, some kind of ask without being asky. In fact, I would say give first, right? Have a give first mentality. And then when it comes to wanting a door open and you've already given first, but yet we're clear on who you are, we're going to want to help. Oh, thank you for introducing me over here. I'd be glad to open up my network over there. So I think that is something that we can't lose sight of, because if we end up becoming one of those networking societies where everybody's asking for the help, it does, instead of giving first, it's not as meaningful. At the heart of the Growth Factory in the Backyard Advantage is love, right? It is a group of business partners that ultimately love each other. They love entrepreneurship and they want to help other entrepreneurs. But love is not just this fuzzy feeling that you get, it's an action. It's something that we do. An act of kindness is what the love is all about. So, any other questions, comments? Yeah, go ahead.
I think you hit a lot of things on the head, and I really love what you last said, because I have a 90-year-old grandma who says, Michael, you built all these great things, but if you don't do acts of kindness, it's like, and then I started buying computers for the employees and giving things out. And like, that was way better than any of the money and stuff, because you could see the impact that it made on, going back to your earlier point, you know? And, so yeah, that means a lot. I think you're doing a lot of great things here. And then I love that giver's gain. BNI calls it the giver's gain. So when I show up every week, I told myself, I won't show up a week here without giving somebody a referral. And I'm like the top guy giving out stuff. And I should probably be the one getting the most. But, you know, it's good to give because it's, there's no better feeling going back to that same point, especially when it's their business and they need to make money.
Yeah. And, you know, it's got to interrupt you. I always think about when this kind of conversation comes up, I always think about there's some people, you're driving down the road, you're at a busy intersection, and there's maybe a woman in, or maybe an elderly person stuck in the middle of the intersection, and they're, what are they going to do? They need to have their car pushed to the side of the road. And do you get out and help? Are you the first one? Are you the second one? Which one are you? There are people in our society that would never jump out of the car to help. They just wouldn't, right? They're just not built that way. And then there's other people that they're going to be the first ones out there no matter what. And I think we have to ask ourselves that question is, which one am I? When somebody's out there, entrepreneurship is not an easy game. It is a full contact sport. And we need every ounce of help that we can get. And we want to spend time with other people that will jump out of the car and help push to the intersection or push out of the intersection.
To double down on that, that's like what's so special about the service is you're in a place all alone, to your point, drop somewhere, and you're all together. So you're all, you have to figure it out. Like, and it doesn't matter if you have the weakest link because you're going to be as strong as him. So just going back to that, when you could get to a group of people and give first or figure out what the weakness is and rise through that, like that's super powerful. Yeah. And I just want to say two other things. Like when you said impact and people getting derailed, like I could speak from experience, like getting derailed is super challenging because you do have to deal with life and all these things. So like when you say you don't want to get derailed and you want to focus, like that book, I don't know if you read it, The One Thing. There's a book called The One Thing. I encourage everybody to read it, but it's like the first thing in the morning. Well, you have to do the activities that are going to make the biggest impact on whatever companies you own and stuff. So that's a huge win right there. But that's a huge question to answer that I don't know that even know the answer to is how do you not get derailed? And then when you are in your business and you're successful, when you start your company of your salad, you know, or people coming in, like how do you make an impact? Like that's so incredible.
And it's an interesting question. And I'll touch on it just realistic. I thought of I know of that book. I read a book. When I read a book, I read it usually 5 or 10 times, right? I immerse myself into it. It's when I'm like, oh, I get that. Now I just need to like remind myself of it. It's called Essentialism. And it's the art of doing less, which I also love Grant Cardone, the 10X rule, do 10 times as much, right? So it's like, how do I wrestle with this? But I think that most of us, I think it's like an ongoing thing that we need to do is stop and carve stuff out of our life. And that's why, you know, I touched on that at the beginning is we don't take time to stop and decide how we're going to carve up the stuff that's least less priority. We have to do that. We have our children. We know that that's going to be our number one priority. But after that, what do we really need? Right? There's a way to cut other things that are not, the non-essentials out of our lives. We just don't do it, right? And I think it's because it's fear. I think we're fearful of doing that. That's my crutch. That's my habit. That's my thing. What would I do? That fear of changing something that's working okay, right? We have a lot of stuff in our lives that is probably working okay. Probably needs to get cut, right? If you're not excited about it, it's just kind of, it's okay. Well, make it great or cut it. Anybody else?
Yeah, that's awesome. I was kind of answered my question there. I was going to ask a little bit what's cool hearing everyone's stories because just hearing some of the same struggles that I think a lot of us have, just whatever journey and path we're going through. But I was going to ask, you did just kind of answer it, but just when you're working on multiple things, I know you've started hundreds of businesses. How do you focus your energy and do you block it out or certain times or, you know?
I mean, I do think that carving out routines, there are winning routines in our lives that I think can be super helpful. I like to work out in the morning, right? Working out's important to me. So I just carve it. Like I have my, like there's not a lot going on at 5:30 in the morning. So I have no excuses. So I get that stuff out of the way earlier and I carve it out and I prioritize it. And it helps me with my own sanity. So it's part of my, I guess what makes me healthier throughout the rest of the day. Other than that, I haven't become that block the time guy like a lot of people. I do what's fun for me, and then I get savages to do the other stuff. So for me, it's been around putting the right people in my life that are good at stuff that I'm not as good at or not as fun. So that comes back to the vision. You've got to have the compelling vision, or who's going to be doing that stuff for you? And so I'm a back to basics guy, right? Everything back to basics, not working. Why? Don't have the right team, right? Either I'm broken, or my what I want is not what other people want. So maybe I need to tweak that. And so that's where I would say is get some badass business partners, right? If you're working on two businesses, well, it sounds like you need a couple CEOs there so you can, you know, help them. That's where my head is at with you. And I don't, you know, I don't know that that's right for you, but if I was stranded out somewhere and decided to start a business, I'd go get a business partner. And then my mind might go to another business, and that would be another business partner. I would want them to be in charge.
Just say something that might help you, or should I not?
Help me? Hell yeah.
I did not mean that. But when I'm trying to envision replicating what you're doing, I broke it down into like if you can just envision, like, you log into Netflix and like you tally over to the next movie. Well, that could be the opportunity. But then you really amplify on that and break down a very low cost paying membership into founders, entrepreneurs, investors, and then the pivotal one, which is contractors, to his point, because you could have your CPAs and attorneys draft things up in real time, then merge it into like a metaverse so people can do your stuff in real time, eliminating the distraction for people. Mm-hmm. Like, some people might have to go to a full-time job. Some people might have to take care of their dog. Some people are doing this. But if they're in front of a computer and there's other people willing to help them out in some sort of very low-cost way, or if they can scroll and panel through the opportunities, like, that would bring the collaboration to, in my mind. But I could be wrong.
I agree with that. I think one of the things in building companies or tribes with hundreds of people, or even a small team, if you might have three or four real estate people, communication is the key, and clarity of mission and vision within the organization, whether or a family. That's it. What are we doing? What are we about? And when you get into a bit bigger group, we need to automate that and make it easy for people to work hard. And those kind of tools needed to be developed. And again, that's not my forte. That was, you know, that idea surfaced as one of our top priorities. And that's a great way to communicate and drive clarity through the organization. I would be supportive of it if it was what was important now. But I am looking, so I might want to touch bases with you afterwards, because that, to me, the number one obsession that the CEO needs to have is organizational clarity. And without tools for communication, we ain't got no clarity. Only got a couple minutes left. Anybody other questions?
So this is just kind of getting back to the beginning where you said, you know, building a great company and like what is a great company and so forth. There's so many different aspects that come with building a great company. So it's like, without people taking your idea that you have that's not around yet, how do you put yourself in front of the right people to help get you guided to where you need to be? You know what I mean? Because if you're around very successful people and you're telling them your idea.
Might take it. It's an interesting question. And there's different schools of thought on that. I have a personal opinion on this. So it might not be the right answer for everybody. Building a business is freaking tough. And if they don't have your passion for it, I don't care how great of an idea it is, it's not going to go anywhere. And I hear so many ideas from so many people. There's not one part of it that makes me go, oh, maybe I should go do that. Zero. And I could assemble people to go take your idea and do something with it. I don't care about your idea like you do. I care about you, but I don't care about your idea like you do. I think the chances of that happening in most cases is very remote. And I think what I do see many times, I've had people say, hey, Mark, I want to tell you about my business idea. I want to pick your brain. Okay, sure. Come on out. Okay, can you sign an NDA, right? A non-disclosure, you know, confidentiality agreement. I'm like, no, I look at hundreds of deals. I can't be signing NDAs and keeping track of all that stuff. The people that can make it happen are not going to steal your idea. Somebody else might, some loser, but the people that can actually add a lot of value and help you, they don't want your idea. They're investors. They're people that are trying to help you. And so I feel like that, I would err on that side. Now, an attorney might say something completely different, but I'm about winning. And if you can't get the idea out there, you ain't going to win.
Where do you find those people at?
Yeah, a good, great question. I think, you know, who they are, depending on what it is, where your need is, I think they exist. And I think this could be a good avenue. Somebody in this room might know somebody in the farm to fork industry that knows franchise. You know, I don't know the business model that you're going to build, but we have programs within the Growth Factory called Roseville Rising, and we have a Build Rockland thing, and we've got partnerships and different things that we do. I'm going to have an Entrepreneurs Unleashed event coming up in the next couple of months. I don't know if we have a date on it yet, but we're going to start bringing people back together, and it's going to be a combination of investors, mentors, entrepreneurs that have built cool stuff and just want to help. We're not the only ones in Sacramento that, you know, get it. And so my job is bringing you all together so that the one that gets excited about, whether it be farm to fork or health food or fighting cancer through what you put in your body, or convenience for working moms. Like, I'm investing into a company called Foodum, and it's a platform that takes chefs and puts them together with busy families, and they make the food at your house, right? They do all the shopping and all that. That way, you know, for $100, you can feed your family, and it's a chef at your house. Kind of a cool company. And it's a platform, it's a tech company, so that it can be more scalable by and large. You know, it's cheaper to scale a platform tech company than brick and mortar. So it's not better or worse. It's just, for a lot of us, we view it as more venture backable. So she'd probably be a great person to talk to, and she's awesome. But she would not see you as competition. She'd be like, oh, here's how it works. Have you thought about this? I can introduce you to that.
Yeah, it's just, I guess, putting yourself in front of the right people and figure out who you need for what.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Well, I mean, I think do you need more help? Every company has a great product person, right? And I don't know if that's you or not. I don't know if you're a foodie or somebody that knows the food. They also have somebody who knows how to drive sales and marketing. Mm-hmm. They know how to move the molecules. Mm-hmm. And then there's also somebody that gets the money side of things.
Yeah.
So you probably get the money side of things at some level. Obviously, you help people with their money a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up in the restaurant business. That was my first job.
Well, so, like, you might be that product person.
I know back end stuff. Like, I know...
Typically, marketing. That's what I see. Okay. Typically, what I see is the person that wants to change the world is the product person, right? The founder, not always, but many times, it's the person that's in love with the problem, and they get the product, right? And they have the vision for how to affect the product. But then sales and marketing, ooh, I don't like that. Maybe I'm a tech person, or, you know, it's just I haven't scaled a restaurant business before, so I need someone in sales and marketing or partnerships. Mm-hmm. And then many times, depending on how you're going to finance it, people who have all that other stuff, they don't have, you know, the other part. So get those three legs of the stool covered. And if you try to cover them yourself and build the business and do the, you know, it's gonna be like Twister game, and you're going to be, you're going to be out of business, right? So I think you're going to need to get some help in each of those areas, and maybe you hold up one of the. You're probably the product person. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah. So I mean, and maybe, you know, I'm probably a person that in our group is probably a group of people that we have banking partners, we have investor type partners, we have people that might want to invest in you because they like you. Yeah, so our network is probably a good one to spend time around. Okay, Scott's giving me the time. Okay, it is time to wrap. Thank you guys so much for coming on.
Now, let's get Mark's perspective and closing thoughts from today's show. We're back to the Marquee Media Studio. It's the Mark Haney Show.
Welcome back to the Mark Haney Show. I do hope you enjoyed today's trial of a Hanging with Haney recorded. I'm actually going to be doing some more podcasts that are Hanging with Haney-esque, where I bring in a studio audience. I think I have one coming up that's on fitness. There's another one coming up that's on the entrepreneurial ecosystem. And I'll be sharing those. And we may even do some of those live on Instagram or Facebook or LinkedIn. We're trying to decide. But I guess the point is I want to meet every entrepreneur in Sacramento. And one of the ways for me to do that is to bring people together in small groups. And they get something out of that as well, because they get to meet each other and hang with each other and learn together. And there's always friends that get made at these group Hanging with Haney's, and sometimes we record them. So if you're interested in that, hit me up on Instagram at the Mark Haney. Of course, you can come down to my office in Rockland, and for sure, always subscribe to what we do so that you can be involved in some of the most exciting stuff and happening that's happening here in Sacramento's entrepreneurial ecosystem. So to all you out there, fight the good fight for our freedom, our security, and our way of life. Into the 13 stripes and the 50 stars, into that one big dream that's always worth fighting for, yours. Never above you, never below you, always by your side.
This segment includes the personal knowledge, experiences, and opinions about angel investing by seasoned angel investors. This content is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Nothing in this segment constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, or endorsement.